Please be seated. There's an old story that comes out of Poland during World War II at a time when the nation, for the most part, was a Roman Catholic nation. It happened that in a particular village, there was a man who was well known. He was well known for his care and his compassion for other people, and he was deeply loved because of it. Now, he was not a particularly wealthy man, nor was he a native of the village, nor did he attend the village church. In fact, he had never been baptized and showed little interest in rectifying that situation. But both before and during the war, he was known for his good works within the village that he had adopted as his place to live and work. If a stranger came to the village and needed a place to stay, this man would offer a cot in his little house. If a village family ran out of food, he was among the first to offer some bread or some flour from his meager supplies. If someone was in trouble with the authorities, who by and large depressed the victims of that nation, the citizens of that nation, or if the Germans or later the Russians were performing a sweep of the village to collect up the young men for either imprisonment or to force them into the army or worse, he would help hide the would-be victims out in the woods, outside town, or in some way. He was loved very much by the villagers because of all these things and many others. And the man died somewhat unexpectedly. And the villagers grieved his passing. They prepared his body for burial and proceeded to the village church where they asked the priest to perform the burial service and to bury the man in the church cemetery. Now the priest knew the man and loved him as much as the rest of the villagers, but he agreed to conduct the funeral service but insisted that despite all the pleas from the villagers, that he couldn't bury the man inside the church cemetery because he wasn't baptized. "I cannot bury him in our cemetery," the priest said. "It is hallowed ground. He must go where those who are not baptized are buried. Those are the rules of the church, and I cannot change them." The villagers appealed even more earnestly to the priest, saying that the man was a good man and surely loved by God as much as any of the baptized, and perhaps even more so because of all the good that he had done. And the priest agreed with them, but insisted that the rules of the faith were clear and that he could not be broken. Finally, though, they came up with a compromise. "In recognition of your love for him and his love for you people in this village," the priest said, "I will bury him on church land, near to those who have gone before him, those whom he has loved. But it will have to be beyond the fence that surrounds the consecrated ground of our cemetery." On the appointed day, a grave was prepared just outside the fence that surrounded the church cemetery, and the body of the man was processed by all the villagers to the site where the ceremony and the grave was filled in and a stone placed before night fell. But during the night, something beautiful happened. Something that became apparent had been moved by some of the villagers so that it now took in the grave in which the man has been buried. I heard that story a long time ago, or a version like it, and you may have as well. But for me, it captures something of what Jesus was all about. And it certainly speaks to what Paul has to say in his letter to the Ephesians. And it most assuredly speaks to the vows that we make together as we baptize Isabel Shearsby at the 8 o'clock service and Evan Tyler Ward at this service. The entirety of Jesus' ministry was spent expanding the boundaries of the sacred to include both those whom the rules of religion would exclude and those that the ways of the world would exclude. And today's gospel is just a small vignette about Jesus and his disciples and their need to get away from it all for a while. But in the verses that for some reason are omitted from today's lectionary text, we would find the story of the feeding of the 5,000 from five loaves and two fishes, a feeding that the text tells us comes from Jesus' compassion. But no place in this text do we find anything about this crowd needing to meet any expectations or qualifications to be fed by the Son of the living God. And we all are in need of the reconciliation which Paul speaks of in Ephesians. We're all in need of a fresh look at just who we are in the eyes of God and where we fit in the family of God. And Paul reminds the Ephesians that the rituals and the regulations of the law that were given by Moses were meant to give the people of Israel a way to respond to God's graciousness. But to use them to separate the chosen from the unchosen was not how it was supposed to be. Those walls that have been fabricated by humankind have been broken down by Jesus Christ. And what saves us is not how well we've kept all the rules or done the right things, but that we all have access to God through Jesus Christ. And Paul invites us to look at ourselves and others in a different light, a light that has been created by God. We need to look at the walls we've erected and the barriers we've set up and ask God to help us remove them and to build a new house in this world, a house without walls. And how in the world can we flawed human beings possibly accomplish such an outrageous thing? Well, from my perspective, it is as easy and as difficult as making the vows of our baptism a part of our very being. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, and we'll all say, I will, with God's help? I hope we say it like that. It's an acknowledgement that such an audacious proclamation may just be beyond our human capabilities. But with God's help, we will strive to live lives of compassion, just as Jesus did. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? And we will say, I will, with God's help. And that means there are no strangers among us, that we humans have so much more in common than those things that make us different. And then we'll ask, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And we'll say, I will, with God's help. Because that's the hardest one of all. Because that means there are no outcasts in the kingdom of God. It means that we let God do the judging, the Spirit do the moving, while we just do the loving. It means that ours is a house without walls and a kingdom without end. It means peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. It means there are no foreigners or aliens in God's kingdom, but fellow citizens who join together, rise to become a holy temple of the Lord, a dwelling place in which God lives. I doubt, in fact, I know that we can't ever keep this vow perfectly, but we're only asked to try with God's help. And there is no greater legacy that we can leave for these children or for each other. God love you. Amen.